everybody. Welcome to the Moscow School District Community Schools Podcast. This is Brian Smith, principal at Paradise Creek High School, the Career Technical Education Coordinator, and the Community Schools Coordinator. What is Community Schools? Community Schools is partnering with all different types of stakeholders to make sure any needs with our students or families can be helped, to make sure everyone can be their best selves and successful in our school district. So these podcasts, I get a chance to introduce all kinds of amazing things that happen in our district and community, and I have some excellent guests for today. But before I get to introducing them, this could not be possible without the Nez Perce Tribe Local Education Grant. The Nez Perce Tribe gave us a grant to be able to build this podcast studio at Moscow High School. The more and more we use it, the more that students will get to use this, both in speech class, and they're going to start taking over some of these podcast recordings. But today, I have two amazing guests. Most everyone in the community knows these two, especially if you've already been through middle school. So two guests today is the school counselors from Moscow Middle. I have Natalie Stone and Nate Hespelt. Welcome you two.
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
There's nothing more awkward than not knowing when to speak when I open a question out to two people at the same time. So, hey, we're going to do some quick introductions of who you are and your time in the district that's got you to your position now. So, Natalie, if you could start first, just let us know who you are and what has led you to being a school counselor at Moscow Middle School.
Well, thanks for asking, Brian. My name is Natalie, and I am actually a former Cub and Bear myself. And so I'm a Moscow kid. I grew up here. I feel like I understand a lot of the challenges that our students are going through. I've been in the district for 17 years, I think. Maybe 18. I don't know. Ish. Let's just go with that. And I've been at the middle school as a counselor the whole time of my tenure here, after I was a student, of course.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. That's fantastic. Nate, how about yourself? Introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, my name's Nate. Just wondering if you want the long answer or the short answer.
You know what? It's a
podcast.
I always
love Nate's long answers.
So give it to us. What do you got?
Well, I'm a school counselor at Moscow Middle and currently working as a school counselor and a 504 coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
What led me to this position? I always enjoyed working with kids, and that led me into coaching. And from there, I was like, well, I can't really make a living doing this, so how can I work with kids and coach? So that led me to teaching, and then from there, counseling. And really what I was thinking was, I want to do something important with my life. And I couldn't think of anything more important than helping kids. And so that's what led me to being a counselor.
I mean, a line like that, there it is.
I'm telling you, his long stories are always, the long version is always worth it.
But that was the short one.
Oh, that was?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. Hopefully we dig into more long story. What a beautiful statement to make. I'll tell you, as when I became a principal, I mean, I've been a teacher beforehand, but when I became a principal, I feel like I started to just learn just barely a little bit of the huge role that is school counselor. You know, everyone has had a school counselor growing up. We're familiar with some aspects of your position, but now in this role in community schools, getting to work with you all in different programming, what you do in a typical day is enormous and irreplaceable. So if I were to ask the question, and I'll let both of you answer, what's something that is really, really big on your plate within your role that maybe the outside community doesn't know about?
Well, getting to your original point, typical day, that doesn't exist for us. We never know what's going to happen. You know, it could be that we have a day we're in the classroom presenting topics to kids in the classroom setting, or we might be dealing with an individual student's crisis, something that happened at home over the weekend that they're dealing with, and they just don't feel like they're ready to tackle school. So we have to, or we get to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And I mean, and like you said, when you walk in, every day is a new day.
Yeah.
You can have whatever you want planned, but you're here to help kids.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, that's just what strikes out to me within the school counselor is At the drop of a hat, can stop.
Always turning on a point.
Yeah. Natalie, anything to add about that?
I think one of the things that you had mentioned in your initial question was that what do we do that people maybe don't know that we do? And so one of those things to me is that we spend a lot of time visiting with new students and families to our district. And so we get to see people who are here on the best, like for their best situation, like, oh, we got this great new job, we're moving to Moscow, we can't wait to be here. But we also get to see people who are going through some pretty significant transitions and challenges. So that's something that through my years, like spending time with these incoming families and students, it's been, you know, really rewarding because you get to like have that closeness, that point of contact, be their source. But it's also so difficult because they're the resources that I personally or that we have available aren't as deep as I would wish for on occasion.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. You know, when we live in a small town like Moscow, for those of us that have been here for years and years, we've watched our children grow with those same core friends. You know, they age together. Of course, things change, especially in middle school. But to have your first day in a small community be at middle school, that's a little tricky. So if you've got a family listening right now, and what kind of advice would you give if you're moving to a new area, and let's say it's Moscow because we're here, and you're around that middle school age, what kind of advice do you give those students as they head out sort of into the flock of children as they start their day?
Smile. I mean, just be open to trying new things and don't be afraid to ask for help.
I think it's important to say that we get a lot of new students in this community because of the university. So our teachers and our students are used to having new people in the building. So don't feel like you're the only one who's new. There's always a whole bunch of people that are new every year. And we love having new people come. Mm-hmm. So
that's great.
Get involved with things. And get to know people.
Yeah. Well, that was my next question to ask. You know, high school is just littered with all kinds of ways to be involved. In fact, sometimes you have to coach students to not add too much to their plate as they start to drown. But middle school is that first age when there's a little bit more independence and choice of groups, clubs that you might want to join. What are some of the awesome things happening right now at Moscow Middle School that maybe not everyone knows about?
We have a slew of clubs that our kids really drive. So the listing of clubs changes from one month to the next and definitely from year to year. So there are times when I'm like, is that club still happening? I'm not sure. I have to go and look and research and, oh, we have this club now. So I think it's entertaining. We've got kids who do things like we have Beyblades Club, for example, which seemed like something that my 4-year-old nephew was totally into, but it comes back into our middle school population. They're like, they desire doing something that's a little bit more physical, a little less I'm working on my cell phone, digital device, playing a game that way. And so it's really fun to see the things that the students have interest in and want to do. But I definitely think athletics in the middle level is where it's at for exposure to and experience with different things. So it's beautiful that our school and our community supports the no-cut developmental programs that we have for our sports. So a student can get involved and never have had any experience, can be totally terrible. Like I was terrible in many sports, but you could be totally terrible and you can get in and get experience and be like, yeah, that was really amazing. I gained some skills. I want to do it some more. Or you get in there and you're like, whoa, not for me. But now you're basing that determination on an experience, not on what your preconceived notions might be.
Yeah, that's great advice, Nate.
Yeah, sports are a great way to get involved, get to know people, test out your skills, see if you like a sport. And we have lots of clubs. And the great thing is the clubs are based on what the kids want to do. They can start their own clubs. Mm-hmm. All they have to do is have an idea, a few members, and find a supervisor for their club, and then they get it approved, and they're all set to go. So we have all kinds of different things going on. I can't keep up with what clubs we have because they change so much over the years. But I can think of a few, like Origami Club. Some kids were interested in that.
Yeah.
They started a club. At lunchtime, they get together and do origami. There's a Games Club. There's a Dungeons and Dragons Club. There used to be a Club Sawdust where they would get together and build things. The list goes on and on and on. It's whatever kids want to do, and they initiate it and start it.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And you actually just mentioned something I was going to ask. You said that this can happen during lunch. So are all these clubs, I need to stay after school and find a way to get home? Or it sounds like there's a mix of I can do it during the school day, even if I don't have a way home later.
There is a mix.
Definitely.
In the mornings, we have a jazz band, for example, that meets before school. Many of them meet at lunchtime in various classrooms. And then there's a lot of them that happen after school, too.
Mm-hmm. You know,
just depends.
Yeah. I mean, I want to give a big celebration to Moscow Middle School because this experience, the amount of clubs you offer, is really unbelievable. To not be able to even keep track of the number because small groups just come together and put it together, and that's incredible. Also, athletics. When I start hearing about the number of students.
I know. It's like more than 50% of our student population will be out for a sport in the spring or the fall.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, it just speaks to the culture you all have built, all the amazing staff at Moscow Middle School. And again, this goes back to your advice. Just get out and just be involved.
I think just being open to trying the new things is really overcoming your hesitancies and your fears of what could happen if I mess up, because we're all going to mess up. Everybody messes up. So just be open to trying it.
And you're going to be welcome.
Yes.
If you're interested in a club, just show up. You don't have to apply or join or anything like that.
Yeah, you don't have to commit to going every single time they meet.
Yep, just show up. And the same with sports. You don't have to do tryouts. You're going to be on a team.
Everybody gets a team.
Yeah, this is great. So we've talked a lot about new students, and this would be the same advice you'd probably give anyone at Moscow Middle. But our listeners also include parents. So you're well aware. You've got your student getting through elementary school. We're doing great. We've gone to that same building. You have the same teacher all day, each grade level. And then that big transition to middle school comes. And it's a lot for a student. It's a lot for the parent. I am personally experiencing it right now. So what kind of advice would you give those parents that are heading into the middle school world? What is there to expect, both just navigating Moscow Middle, but more importantly, because you're school counselors, what's to be expected of them watching their student grow through these years in middle school? What kind of things would you like to share with those parents?
Do you want to go first, Nate, or shall I? Okay. All right. Well, I find that the students typically do pretty well without a lot of parent support. Like, I feel maybe I'm misstating this, but it's more as if the parents have more anxiety about their students coming to the middle school than is needed or that is warranted. The kids feel stressed and nervous and maybe a little anxious before the school year gets started, but I swear that once they get in the building and they're in a classroom for a period or two, they're like, oh, I got this. So I really hope to assuage some parental anxiety over this big move to transition school, to middle school. Yes, it's a big transition, but no, it's not something that's going to, it's not like what TV might portray middle school as. Nobody's going to sit there and beat up your kid in the lockers, and it's just not like that. Mm-hmm. It's it's kind. The kids are all just experiencing things in a similar way, and they're, you know, they're struggling in the same developmental states and places that everyone is doing the best they can. So that's one of the big things I wish every parent knew, is that their kid's going to be okay. But my other thing, I think, to help parents and families is that it's important to monitor your kids' new freedom, especially when it comes to technology. So we see a lot more students having cell phones in grades 6 or 7 or 8 than we have in years past. It's okay to make your kid wait to get a phone. That's okay. We do have a phone in the office for kids to use, believe it or not. But we're also going to ask that your kid not make phone calls home during the school day unless they're sick or something, which it baffles me that sometimes parents will text their student while they're at school and be like, I'm at the grocery store. What do you want? I want you to focus on some math right now, actually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and I get it. I've been there. But it's just like, man, don't tether your child to their devices quite so thoroughly, which is a little bit controversial since we give kids Chromebooks to use for school purposes. But
it's different, though.
It is different. Mm-hmm. I mean, the freedoms on the school Chromebooks are totally different than those on an open cell device, but it's just something that I really, really encourage parents to be mindful of and monitor and set limits on. And, you know, if you can wait till they're 14, that's not a bad thing either, to give them a cell phone.
Right. Thanks, Natalie. Nate, anything to add?
Well, going into middle school, you have to be aware that your child is going to go through huge transformations between 6th to 7th to 8th grade. It's amazing how much they change physically, emotionally, and maturity-wise. So let them go through that transformation. They will come out the other side in good shape. Mm-hmm. Everything they do in middle school is going to be a lesson for them. You know, they're going to make mistakes, and those are okay. They're going to make mistakes interacting with their peers, and those are okay. We are going to help them through that. Parents are going to help them through that, and that's how they learn. We don't want to insulate them from all of the things that might happen, because they need to experience things to learn.
That is such great advice. You know, it's difficult as a parent. You want to protect those that we love. I mean, there's no greater treasure than your own child. But you really aren't helping when you constantly shield the growth process, right? To have some hardships. And middle school brings about new kinds of hardships that you've probably never seen as a parent in elementary school.
Most definitely.
Yeah, for those on air, you can't say that they're both smiling widely as I say that to them, because you know, you do, you go through all kinds of different changes, like you said, emotionally, physically. I just love that sentiment of see them through to the end. You know, as a high school principal, the advice I always say, the two things is be present and be consistent.
Yes.
You can always access me no matter what, and I will always be here to support you, ups and downs.
Well, if you think about it this way, every year that your child goes through school, things change. Things get more difficult, but they're ready for it. They've had that experience, and then the next year, they're ready for what comes at them. It's the same with middle school. When you get to sixth grade, it's going to be a little harder than fifth grade. There's going to be different challenges, but they're ready for it. And the same with eighth grade. By the time they finish eighth grade, they're going to be ready to go on to high school. Just the natural progression of things. The teachers at our school are amazing at getting kids prepared for the next thing, for the next year.
And oh, that's fabulous. Well, and, you know, when we decided to bring you both here for the December podcast, part of it, too, was we're in the holiday season. Holidays are amazing. Seeing the Christmas lights, all the presents, all the fanfare. Of course, everyone loves it, but it also can be one of the most difficult times to navigate with your students. So I wanted to just be, for part of this interview, kind of pointed at supporting folks through the holiday season. Because from my end, I know I happen to see a heightened level of anxiety, emotional distress, physical distress during this time. So if there were any sort of advice that you could give, either as a parent or as a student heading through the holiday seasons, what might it be from your perspective?
Well, the holiday season can bring a lot out in people. It can bring the best and it can bring the worst. So as a grown-up, I try really hard to focus on asking people how their time off was, how their break was, rather than how their Christmas was or what they got for Christmas or where you went for the holiday. I feel like it's hard to help kids reframe on experience and quality time if our society is really commercially driven to focus on belongings and getting things from others. So that's one of those things that I just really try to push, like, did you have a good time? Did you get to enjoy the snow? Did you stay warm? You know, those are things that are luxuries for a lot of people. So I just really try to focus on those kinds of things when it comes to the holidays. But I also know that for a lot of our students, we see an uptick in behavior before the holiday. And I think that some of that is because they know they're not going to be coming to school. A lot of kids like coming to school, believe it or not. They love being there, and we love having them. So for 2 weeks, they don't have that consistent, reliable thing, you know? And that can be really taxing for some of our students, more like overwhelming and anxiety inducing because they don't have their routine. They don't have the expectations that they know school provides. So those are just some of those things that come to mind when I think about the holidays.
Yeah, that's so helpful. You know, I don't think there's a parent out there that doesn't say, you know, you see about the second day of break, well, okay, we're ready to send them back.
I do hear that.
Yeah. So what advice would you give for parents to help maintain some of that consistency that you're talking about over the 2 week period? I mean, it's almost impossible in a holiday break. There are so many unique things to do. But in your experience, what are some great ways to use up this time during break to keep things consistent and positive?
Well, you know, there's several different kinds of kids that come to mind. Like you mentioned, but some kids are like, yay, it's holiday break, we get to go home for 2 weeks. But then there's other kids that are like, I don't want to go home for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss this. And what they're missing is those social interactions with other students, with their teachers. They're going to miss the structure that school provides, the physical activity that they get in PE, for example. All those things they're going to be without for 2 weeks, and it does cause them some stress and anxiety sometimes. So my advice is, try to provide some of those things at home. Encourage your child to get out of their room, off of their phone, get outside, do something active. As a family, it's even better. But encourage get-togethers with friends, all the things that they might be missing.
Mm-hmm. And I always think it's important to try to maintain a relatively routine sleep schedule, because inevitably when we come back in January, there are some zombies walking through the building. and I know it's because their bodies just came back from a trip to Tokyo. You know, when you think about the internal body clock, they've spent a week in a totally different time zone, and then coming back to our place and time, they struggle to have any energy. But when they have that consistency, when they have that activity level, when they have, you know, some of those more predictable routines, it's mitigated much better.
Yeah, that is such great advice. And there's so much joy around break, but I know that those last couple of days that you're trying to wake your student up at a normal time to prep for school, that gets rough.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so it's worth the fight, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we do hope that all of the Moscow community and everyone has an amazing holiday season. I want to stress that we have our Moscow School District Community Hub, and that's a place at Russell Elementary right now that has loads and loads of new and barely used clothing, everything from shoes, boots, and snow gear to regular pants and shirts to wear throughout the day. If you are needing to access that, just talk to a counselor, teacher, anyone. Everyone knows how to get you there. We do appointments by shopping where I get an email oftentimes from Nate or Natalie that will set up a time and I'll meet a family there. And you can get as much as you need. There is no limit on the amount of clothing, hygiene products, or school supplies. So as you head to the holiday season and you maybe want to look at what might be available, I recommend you reach out. We've had some incredible donations recently. The leadership class here at Moscow High School has raised, I think it's just a little over $550.
Wow.
To go towards buying more winter gear for that hub.
Awesome.
And of course, folks like Chaz, Willamette Dental, other sponsors keep it to where we have money to buy new stuff. So it's a pretty cool place to go. Yeah. So if you're in need of those things, also if food insecurities, if you're worried about having enough food over break, do not wait. Reach out now to your counselors, your teachers, and say, this is something I'm worried about, because then we can set up access to our pantry that's at Moscow High School, the local pantries that are throughout the community, and just make sure that you are well supported through the break. And then, of course, if you're just at all concerned about the development of your child in any way, this is happening at home. I really don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond. I can't stress enough how valuable it is to contact a school counselor. The counselors in this district are second to none. They are open to listening, open to giving great advice and just perspective, because when we're stuck with our own children, that's all we see. And you guys get to work with thousands and thousands of children over the years. So if that's something that's really piquing an interest as you're hearing their responses, reach out to your school counselor no matter where you go. It'll be worth the time to do a phone conference, come in person, meet. It goes a long way. On that note, as we're heading towards the end here, I would love to hear from both of you a core favorite memory in your current role, something that you lean on, that you say, that was a really unbelievable moment in my career. Obviously, we don't use any names, but if you could think of something each of you to share that is one of those special moments that you'll take with you year after year and long after you retire that you'd like to share.
Wow, there's so many. You know, I love this job. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's emotionally hard, but I love this job. I love the kids. So many memories. But kids that are adults now, mm-hmm. that reach out to me now and tell me what they experienced as a middle school kid, and how I was part of that for them, that brings me joy. And those are the memories I cherish. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's so great. You're the second person on this podcast to use that exact line as a favorite memory. Sam Hoogsteen, who was on our last interview, he said his favorite part is receiving letters later. So in the holiday season, if you're thinking, what do I do for the adults at the schools that are in my child's life, it can go a long way to write a letter. Express gratitude, express thanks. If you have those students coming back from college and you're around the table, and they talk about a memory of middle school and how someone made all the difference, it is worth it to stop and write it down and send it to your school. It goes
a long way.
It really
is. It's so valuable to us as professionals to be like, I am doing something right.
Let me just tell you, both are very much doing many things right.
Well, you know, sometimes you kind of get down on yourself. You think, I have imposter syndrome. Who am I really? What am I? How can anyone even look to me for guidance and support? Like we kind of get it up in our heads sometimes, and it's hard to be like, yeah, I am a grown-up professional. Who'd have thought? But yeah, I mean, definitely the things that my favorite memories are when definitely the people come back and say, I can't believe you helped me through that. It was so hard for me, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without you. I think they would have, but, you know, it's still valuable. And, I mean, I got a text message on social media from a girl a decade ago, I don't know, she's older, and she just said, remember all those times that I came to your office crying because of what was going on in my life? I am so glad that I had someone there for me. And I thought, oh gosh, I'm gonna cry. But it's like those kinds of things that it took her maybe 30 seconds to send that message, but it felt so good.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing. I want to thank you both for your time today. It is just, again, I'm going to say it 100 times over, it is massive what is on your plate as a school counselor. What we think we know about the position, everyone, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's but just the tip of the iceberg of what these folks do. So on behalf of the community, both as a colleague and as a parent, I want to thank you both for what you do every day for our kids. We have an incredible middle school. It is one of the trickiest age groups to take care of within a community, let alone in school, and you all grab it with two hands and hug on tighter than anybody else. So to know that the students in this community have the kind of support that you provide through some of the most, we haven't said it yet, but awkward years. You own it, you paste it on the wall, you celebrate it, and you smile about it, and I think it's fantastic. So thank you both for all you do and coming in the middle of the day to do a podcast. How fun was this?
It was left me speechless.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys.
It is. And you might have been hearing clapping and recording on this because we are in a classroom at Moscow High School so that students can use this studio as well. And just like any time of school, that means you got to be flexible. So
right. If
you heard some random clapping, video noise, music, it's because we're learning in the classroom right next to us. So
every day.
Oh, I thought that was our fans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're waiting for autographs and ready to
for
send you
sure,
letters.
For sure.
All right. You. Again, this was episode 2 here of the Moscow School District Community Schools podcast. Thanks again to Natalie Stone, Nate Hespelt. You both are wonderful. Thanks for tuning in, and we will have a new episode out in January. Happy holidays to everybody.